Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
We are continuing our study of the prologue to John's Gospel, which we can find in John chapter 1, the verses 1 to 18. Today, with the Lord's help, we want to consider the verses 6 through 8 of this chapter. And there we read as follows: "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." So far, the reading of the Holy Word of God. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of His Word to our hearts today. Dear friends, so far in our study of John chapter 1, we have encountered several key words that serve to introduce the themes of this gospel. These include the words life and light and darkness. Well, our text today contains yet another of these key words. It's the word witness. And it occurs twice in these verses. Once in verse 7, where John says, "This man came for a witness." And again in verse 8, where it says, "He was sent to bear witness of that light." In fact, the word witness appears no less than 26 times in John's gospel, and for good reason. As we've observed several times in this series, the purpose of John's gospel, as he states in John 20, verse 31, is that you, the reader, may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Well, what better way to support this aim than by summoning a witness? You know that in a court of law, when you have a witness, you can corroborate your case, and that's the case here as well. John summons a witness, a very important witness, we would say a star witness, to corroborate his case that Jesus Christ, whom John calls the light, is the Son of God, so that believing on him, we might have life in his name. Well, who exactly is this star witness? That's what we hope to find out in the sermon today. The theme for the sermon is the witness of the light. We'll consider, first of all, his divine credentials, secondly, his glorious task, and thirdly, his saving purpose. One of the notable features of the first few verses of John's prologue is its chronology. John, as we've seen, begins his prologue in eternity. Verse 1, "In the beginning," meaning from eternity, before the creation of the world. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So here John declares that the Word, who is the pre-incarnate Christ, was God and existed from all eternity with God. Now, following this, in verses 2 and 3, he moves to creation. And he declares that all things, in verse 2, were made through him, and that without him nothing was made that was made. And then in verse 3, he says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And so here in our text, he now brings us to the first century AD, the time just before our Lord began his public ministry. And he writes this: "There was a man sent from God." Now you'll notice the contrast here. Up until this point, in verses 1 to 5, John has been speaking about the Word, the pre-incarnate Christ, who is fully God, the uncreated one, who existed from eternity, the creator of all things, the source of life, the light. And now in our text, a shift occurs. There was a man. So we move here from the eternal to the temporal, from heaven to earth, from the infinite to the finite, from the creator to the creature, from God to man. Now, to be sure, Christ was also a man. Verse 14, we read, "He became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ was a man. He was just as human as you and I. But he was more than a man. He was the God-man. He was fully human, yes, but also fully divine. And the one to whom John is referring in our text here is only a man. Well, who was this man? John tells us two things about him. First of all, he tells us that his name was John. Now, the reference here is not to John the Apostle, the author of this gospel, but rather to another John, to John the Baptist. John is the English form of the Hebrew name Yochanan, meaning Yahweh is gracious or Yahweh is merciful. And this was John the Baptist. He was a personification of the grace of the mercy of God. In what sense? Well, in the sense that he prepared the way for the coming of the Messiah, and he pointed sinners to him. And I submit to you that there's no greater manifestation of the grace and the mercy of God than that, than by pointing us to Christ. Now, the mention of John the Baptist reminds us that the gospel of Christ is not a fairy tale. It's not some story made up by some religious thinkers many centuries ago. Nor is it merely a set of ideas about God and salvation or a set of ethical principles. No, it is rooted in history. It was unfolded in real time through the instrumentality of real people. And here we have the name of one such person. His name is John the Baptist. The second thing we learn about him here is that he was sent by God. John did not put himself forward, nor did he volunteer for the task which the Lord had given to him. Nor did others ask him to do it. No, he was sent by God. He received his credentials from God. Now, how do we know that? Well, for one thing, he had a miraculous birth. John tells us about this in Luke chapter 1. There Luke says that while his father Zacharias was performing his priestly duties, the angel Gabriel appeared to him and told him that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a son, and that they were to call his name John. He told them further that they would have joy and gladness, and that many would rejoice at his birth. He would also be great in the sight of the Lord, and would drink neither wine nor strong drink. He would be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he would turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord God of their fathers, and he would go before the Lord, he says, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now from this, it is clear what John's task was. It was to prepare the way of the Lord. And that's exactly what he did, by calling men to repent of their sins, and by baptizing them in the Jordan River. But secondly, we know that John was sent by God because his coming was predicted in the Old Testament. In Malachi 3 verse 1, God says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." Well, who is this messenger? Well, it's John the Baptist. And what was his task? It was to prepare the way before his son. And similarly, in Isaiah 40 verse 3, we read these words, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Again, whose voice is this? It is the voice of John the Baptist. And what was his task? His task was to prepare the way of the Lord. And John knew this. And so at the time appointed by God, he began to do this work. He began to prepare the way of the Lord. And how did he do that? He did that by preaching. And his message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was the same message that Jesus preached when he began his own ministry. And the Gospels tell us that many responded to that message. They came to him in droves. The Gospels say that even some of the Jewish religious leaders came to him, and the Roman soldiers came to him to hear him preach and to be baptized by him in the Jordan. The point of all this is simply to demonstrate that John was sent by God. And dear friends, what was true for John is true for every true minister of the gospel to this very day. Every true minister of the gospel is a man who is called and sent by God. Now that happens in different ways. Every minister has a different story how the Lord called them into the ministry, and how the Lord called them to serve a specific congregation. But one thing they all have in common, they are all called and sent by God. This is clear from Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. There Paul asks, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Paul's point in this passage is clear. It pleases God to bring sinners to himself through the preaching of the word by men whom he calls and sends. That was the case for John the Baptist. And that also must be the case for every true minister of the word of God to this very day. Well, if that is so, if ministers are indeed sent by God, then we should receive them as gifts of God to his church. And we should pray for our pastors, and we should provide for them adequately in their material needs, and we should obey them in all things that are according to the Holy Scriptures. And so John was sent by God. Well, what was he sent to do? That brings us to our second point, his glorious task. John was sent by God for a specific purpose. And what was that purpose? John tells us it was to bear witness of the light. John writes, this man, John, came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Well, who or what is the light? This is clearly a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 9, verse 2, Isaiah writes, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. So twice in these verses, Isaiah refers to a light. Who is this light? It is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Similarly, in Isaiah 49, verse 6, the same prophet quotes God as saying this, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Again, who is this light? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ himself confirmed this when he says in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Well, why is Christ called the light? Why does he call himself the light? Well, just think for a moment of what light does. Light dispels darkness. And Jesus does the same, doesn't he? He dispels the darkness of sin. Light also shows us the way. And Christ does that too, doesn't he? That's why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. He is the only way to eternal life. J.C. Ryle writes this, and I quote, Christ is to the souls of men what the sun is to the world. He is the center and source of all spiritual light, warmth, life, health, growth, beauty, and fertility. Like the sun, he shines for the common benefit of all mankind, for high and for low, for rich and for poor, for Jew and for Greek, and like the sun, he is free to all. All may look at him and drink health out of his light. And so John's task, the task for which he was sent by God, was to bear witness to this light. Now, to avoid any confusion on this matter, John adds a qualifier. He says he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Again, notice carefully what John says here. He doesn't say he came as a witness, but rather he came for a witness. The original Greek here indicates that the witness is not a person, it's not John, but it's a message. The idea is that John came to witness. Specifically, he came to bear witness of the light. This is the language of a courtroom. What John is saying is that John the Baptist came to step into the courtroom of this world to give a testimony that Jesus of Nazareth is who he said he was, that he is the Son of God and the promised Messiah, and that those who believe in his name will have the forgiveness of all of their sins and life everlasting. And the implication is that his testimony is based not on personal opinion, but on fact. John bore witness. Now, isn't that precisely what we see in his ministry? It's highly significant that, unlike the other Gospels, John does not mention John the Baptist baptizing the Lord Jesus Christ in the Jordan, even though this was the highlight of John's ministry. Now, there is a fleeting reference to this in verse 32 of this chapter, but that's all. There's no extended description of the baptism of Christ. Instead, John focuses on John's testimony about Christ. Again, look at verses 19 to 27. We read there that one day a delegation of priests and Levites came from Jerusalem, and they asked John, "Who are you?" And he denied that he was the Christ. He denied that he was Elijah or the prophet. Instead, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" And then when the Pharisees asked him why he baptized, John says in verse 26, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to unloose." The next day, when John saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The day after that, he said something similar, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And finally, in John 3, verse 26, we read there how the disciples of John came to him and told him that all men were coming to Christ. And in response, John said, "He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." John bore witness. He gave testimony that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the promised Savior of sinners, and that all men should look to him. Now, in bearing witness to Christ, John sets the pattern for all true ministers of the gospel. The task of the minister of the gospel is not to lecture about theology. It is not to moralize and tell people how to live a better life or how they can have their so-called best life now. It's not to give them a weekly dose of self-help tips. It's to bear witness to the light. John MacArthur, in his commentary on this verse, writes this. He says, "Gospel ministry is about the light. It's about Christ. It's giving the facts, the truth, the evidence concerning who he is, why he came, and what he has done. All true Christian ministry is established here as being Christ-dominated, Christ-centered. This is the true nature of Christian ministry. It is about Jesus Christ." And we couldn't agree more. But the task of bearing witness to the light belongs not just to ministers of the gospel. It belongs to every believer in Christ. Not officially, for we can't all be ministers, of course, but unofficially. Our calling is to bear witness to Christ. In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus said to the disciples, and presumably to other believers who were gathered with them, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And when he had come, they were to be witnesses to him in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That was their task. Let me ask you, are you fulfilling that task? Are you witnessing to Christ? Sometimes people say that they are bearing witness of Christ simply by how they live their lives. Now, that's important, of course. But that in itself is not bearing witness to Christ. That's not sufficient. Bearing witness to Christ is actually speaking about him to others. Nobody's going to be saved by watching you live your life. The only way they're going to be saved is if you tell them about Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, when was the last time that you spoke to someone, anyone, about Christ? Was it last week? Was it last year? 10 years ago? Never? Oh, that more of us had the boldness and spiritual fortitude of John the Baptist. Oh, that we all bore witness to Jesus Christ. If we did that, then every pew in our church buildings would be filled with people. It's only because of our timidity and complacency that they are not. John was sent to bear witness to the light who is Christ. Why? For what purpose? Well, that brings us to our third and final point, his saving purpose. God sent John into the world to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Now this raises two questions. First of all, to whom does the word him refer, that all through him might believe? You notice that the word him here in the New King James Version is not capitalized. And that means it's not referring to Christ, but rather to John the Baptist. God sent John into the world so that all through him, that is through John, that is through his bearing witness to Christ, that all through him might believe. Now, at first glance, that seems kind of strange, doesn't it? Does God bring people to faith through a man? The answer is yes, he does. You may recall that when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he gave it to whom? He gave it to men, to his disciples. Christ commanded men to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And this is precisely what Paul teaches in Romans 10, 14 and 15, which I cited earlier. He writes, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Do you follow the logic here? What Paul is saying is that in order to call on the Lord, we must believe. But in order to believe, we need to hear. And in order to hear, we need someone to preach to us. God saves sinners through the instrumentality of preachers, whom he calls and sends. And so Paul writes in verse 17, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We see here how vital preachers are for salvation, and how we need to pray, therefore, for our ministers, that the Lord would give them spiritual insight into his word and the ability and the boldness to proclaim his word no matter what the cost. And how we need to beseech the Lord to send us more men who are called and equipped by God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in the church today. There's a great shortage of ministers today in every denomination. And let us therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, for the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are indeed few. The second question that these words raise is, who is meant by the word all? Well, not every single person in the world is meant by this, because John did not preach to every single person in the world. The reference here is to the people who heard John preach. Most of them were Jews, but as I mentioned earlier, some of them were Gentiles, including Roman soldiers. God sent John to bear witness so that all of these people might believe and be saved. Now, does that mean that all of them were saved? No. In Matthew 3, verses 7 to 12, we read that when John saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance." Many Pharisees and Sadducees came to John to be baptized by him. Why? Because it was the thing to do. Everybody was doing it, and so they wanted to do it too, but they were not truly repentant. At least it didn't show itself in their lives, and so John tells them, "You need to repent." It's clear, not all who heard John believed. And yet God sent John to bear witness of Christ so that they all might believe. Now you might ask, doesn't that conflict with the doctrine of election? Isn't it true that God saves only his elect, those whom he has chosen from everlasting life? Yes, it is true. The Bible teaches that. But there is a sense in which God desires the salvation of all men. At least, that is how he reveals himself in his word. Now, how that squares with the doctrine of election, I don't know, nor is it any of our business. All I can say is that while God saves only his elect, he at the same time desires the salvation of all men. All who come under the preaching of the word of God, God sincerely offers his salvation to them. The point is, God calls men to bear witness of Christ so that all who come under the invitations of the gospel might be saved. Oh, my friend, what about you today? I can't see into your heart. I don't know who among you are true believers and who among you are not. You might not even know yourself, because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Some of you might be believers when you think you're not, and others of you might not be believers when you think you are. But this much I know, God cares about your soul. He cares so much that He sent this message to you, to preach this message to you on this Lord's Day, and every message by your own pastors, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, they preach the gospel to you so that you might believe and be saved. God sent John the Baptist to bear witness of the light. Well, let me ask you as I close, have you seen this light? And have you come to this light? And are you trusting in this light as the only hope and ground of your salvation? My friend, I may tell you today, this is God's desire. This is His purpose. Has it been fulfilled in your life? Amen. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you've heard today, we would very much appreciate hearing from you. Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road, that's spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. If you would like to listen to the message you've just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. That's banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. For more information about our churches, including where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. That's frcna.org. If you live in or near St. George, Ontario, you're welcome to worship at the Providence Free Reformed Church, 269 St. George Road in St. George. Service times are Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed in your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, L-E-H-M-A-N, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can go to our webpage and make a donation right on the webpage. Our webpage again is banneroftruthradio.com. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.